Hello, welcome to Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast for people who want to keep up with the news, but who aren't necessarily politics experts. Quite often, and I feel like lots of you agree with me on this, the mainstream media expects you to keep up every single day with what's happening. So when they give you a sort of most recent update, they do so without any explanation or context. So if you drop the ball, or if you simply don't know something, it can be a bit painful and you can feel a bit left out in terms of keeping up with everything and understanding what's going on. So that's where this podcast comes in. I'm Julia Bell, and along with all the kind of update stuff that I do on UK politics, I like to sometimes throw in a different angle and try and offer a new perspective that you might not have thought about before or really delved into. If you listened to the last episode, you'll have heard my conversation with Romy, who is out in Tokyo in Japan. And she just talked to me about the ways that her government have handled the last year and a half with this pandemic. And my God, she had a completely different experience of it to what we've had here in the UK. And I found that really insightful. But there is another country much closer to home who, kind of in the same sense, have handled and approached the last year almost oppositely to us. Is oppositely a word? Well, it is now, and it's defined in the dictionary as comparing the ways that the UK and Sweden have handled COVID-19 in relation to one another, oppositely. Sweden, it's our northern European neighbour. It's a member of the European Union. So, I mean, I know we're not anymore, but just to give you a sense of kind of how much we've overlapped politically. You can fly there from the UK for like a tenner. It doesn't take long at all. And lots of the ways of life there aren't that kind of profoundly dissimilar to how we live here. And yet, when it came to this one issue, this COVID thing, the Swedes have had a completely different time of it. The Swedish government, run by the Social Democrats, made a conscious decision from the outset to swerve a lockdown altogether. And to this day, an official formal lockdown has never been issued. So yes, restrictions and guidance and advice, sure. And actually, to be honest, they've all had to be a bit more tightened as time's gone on to try and get control of the numbers. But as far as a lockdown goes, not happened in Sweden. And more interestingly, Sweden on its own has kind of stuck out like a sore thumb compared to all its neighbours, all of its Nordic neighbours. Finland, Denmark, Norway, they all opted for a bit more of a similar approach to the UK, where they jumped on a more formal lockdown pretty early on in this whole thing. And you can see that difference reflected in the numbers, quite frankly. When you compare the Scandi countries, some of the most recent data that I can find, which looks at all the COVID deaths, you know, or all the COVID-related deaths that lead up to the last week in May 2021, Sweden, on those graphs of COVID deaths, looks like a skyscraper, you know, compared to Denmark, which looks kind of like a three-story building, and Finland and Norway, which look like mud huts, really tiny little bars on that graph. I'm looking at this one in particular from the ECDC, if you're looking for my source, and it looks at COVID deaths reported per 100,000 people. And Sweden is looking at around 130 to 135 deaths per 100,000 people. 130 odd. That's COVID death rates. Whereas Denmark is more like 40 in every 100,000. So a huge gap there. And then it gets even bigger as you look at Finland. That's more like 13 or 14 people in every 100,000. Massive difference to Sweden. And then Norway is more like 10 or 11. So you look at that data, just hard data, and you think, oh my God, Sweden have just made this horrible mistake. They've made the total wrong call. And a lot of people really vehemently believe that. A lot of like pro-lockdown people, if you will. But that being said, cases and deaths have still been lower in Sweden than in other countries in Europe who did opt for lockdowns, like us in the UK. So talking about COVID deaths per 100,000, we're up at 190-odd. Compared to Sweden's 130-odd. So there are groups in the UK who, you know, anti-lockdown groups, who insist that Sweden is actually a success story compared to us, because they didn't have all the heartache of a year's worth of being stuck inside, a year's worth of lockdown, all the fallout on the economy and all the rest of it. It's up to you kind of how you interpret that data. A lot of scientists are saying, whoa, 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 do not compare kind of apples with pears. You know, it's better to compare Scandi countries with each other because they have similar living conditions, similar cultures, you know, rather than throw the UK into the mix where we have actually completely different variables. So, for instance, density of population, much denser here in the UK, much more space in Sweden, or the fact that people tend to share houses a lot more densely here. So you'll get families of 3, 4, 5, 6 living in the same place. In Sweden, it's more common to live alone. And then, of course, the big one, the UK is this international hub, isn't it? All over the world, people use particularly London, but the whole UK really, as this midpoint, whereas the Scandi countries very much aren't international hubs in the same way. It is, though, like I say, up to you, actually, how you interpret that data, how you want to look at it. But I'm getting really sidetracked here. To carry on this kind of mini series that I'm doing, just to satisfy my own curiosity, if nothing else, I've been reaching out to people in these different spots across the world, and I wanted to reach out to somebody in Sweden to ask them about their experiences of all of this. You know, do they resent the fact that the government made this very controversial call and they stuck to their guns with it? Do they resent that in the way that it's differed from all the other, basically all the other kind of Western and Northern European countries? Or do they look at the last year and say, well, it's been better for me than it has for the people in lockdown, all things considered? So I wanted to get to the bottom of that. Again, like last time, not really looking for a political commentary. I feel like you can get that anywhere. I wanted someone's authentic personal memories and perspectives of how everything's gone down. I'm quite bad for like deciding to do something and then afterwards working out actually how I'm going to do it. And it became clear quite quickly to me that I don't actually know anybody who lives in Sweden. And I committed to this episode quite publicly. So then I had to work out, right, who the hell am I going to talk to? It turns out, though, that my old flatmate, Johnny, he works at Spotify. So, and Spotify, if you didn't know, is a Swedish company. I remember that Johnny used to have to travel out to Stockholm all the time. At one point, he was going out once a week, obviously before COVID. So I asked him if he could help me and get me in touch with somebody. And he did. He told me that his boss, a lovely man by the name of Per, would probably be up for it. Per was really insightful. His perspective on things, kind of particularly the pros and cons of having lockdowns. He had a really different idea on that to me, which I found really eye-opening. I like speaking to people with completely different points of view. So I hope that you find it helpful too. And without any more faff, here is our conversation.
Morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for doing this with me.
Sure.
So listen, thinking back to when the pandemic first broke out in, you know, early 2020, and countries around the world were frantically going into lockdown, including sort of your neighbours in the likes of Finland and Denmark. Did Sweden go into any form of lockdown at all?
So the first couple of weeks was, like you said, there was a lot of questions, right? Like nobody really knew what was going on. We started seeing some people walking around with masks and so on, but it was kind of like, it's just another flu.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, when in Sweden, it honestly, it happened overnight. It was just like, okay, tomorrow, somebody said basically we might not be going to work tomorrow. And we're like, why not? And we went home, and that night we got an email saying, okay, we're going to stay home for 2 weeks. And that just kept getting extended. You know, then it was a month, then it was like, yeah, forever, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, I have two kids too, and they were in school. They went to school as usual. But I think pretty quickly we pulled the kids from school too. There was no official lockdown, but we felt like, okay, we should probably pull them home as well. So for 3 weeks, we did like homeschooling them. And then it was Easter. And then after that, everybody else were kind of keeping their kids in school, more or less. Like some would pull their kids and have them homeschooled, but we were like, things seems to be working, so we're gonna send them back, because it was kind of frantic, you know?
Right.
But there was no official lockdown. It was like they started with these recommendations, social distancing, don't really socialize unless you really have to. And then more and more recommendations would come. But no, initially there's no lockdown, and there have never been a lockdown
At all.
at all.
But why do you think the government has taken this route? Because Sweden sticks out on its own compared to almost every other European country. Do you think there's a cultural reason, or do you think that they were right and all of us were wrong? Why are Sweden sticking out like this?
No, I don't think so. It's so much about right or wrong. I think that initially they believed a lot about this, like herd immunity, that after a while we either through vaccination, even though I don't think anybody believed in a vaccine coming so quickly, but it was more about not overwhelming the healthcare, and the people working in those areas. So it was like everybody's gonna get it eventually. It's more of let's try to slow it a bit, right? And I think Sweden in general has never been much about like forcing people to do things. Sure, there's laws, right? But in a way, they probably have this idea of if you get them on board by not forcing them, it's easier to do so. So I
Right.
think that's what they went with.
So, do you actually think that had the government taken a bit of a draconian approach, you will stay home for this length of time, here are all the rules, do you think Swedish people might have rejected that?
I think there would have been a lot more, not uprising, but it'd be different. And I think there's things that work with it. I think that they could have put like stronger recommendation in place quicker.
Yeah.
I think initially they were like, I think they set the limit to 500 first. Like you can't be at gatherings for more than 500
You're
people.
joking. And this is when we're
No.
all in lockdown. Oh my God.
And then it was like, okay, then they went from 500 to 50, and then initially nothing was closed either. They took a long time to close certain, like libraries were open, movie theaters were open, like bars and restaurants were open. Sure, they told people to not to sit too close to each other and all of this, but I think where they failed was a lot in the assisted living facilities. I mean, once it got in there, it just spread like wildfire, right? And a lot of the older population were affected that way. So I think that's one of the failures. And I think the other one was that they could definitely have put stronger recommendations in effect quicker. But I also think, it was something that hasn't happened since like what, 1918 or something like that with the Spanish flu.
Just from what you're saying, then, it sounds like the Swedish government's been relatively popular. Like what they've done, most of the public have backed it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the beginning it was okay. I think now we're kind of questioning some of the recommendations now because I think there's lack of consistency, and that's what bothers people. Kids are allowed to go to soccer practices, right? But we can't have soccer matches. And so I'm like, is Corona only present in matches, but not in the practices?
Right.
Or if you go into a bar or a restaurant, you can't sit at the same table if you're more than two people. So if you're a family, you have to sit at two tables if you're a family of four.
We've had
I
a
mean,
bit of this.
my wife went to a cafe the other day with our daughter. She's 9 years old, and she was told she couldn't sit at the same table as my daughter because my daughter could take care of herself. So she was kind of like, she can pay for her stuff self by herself. I mean, it's like, yeah. So a lot of those things are people are getting annoyed with that kind of stuff because it's so inconsistent, right?
Okay. But in terms of the no lockdown, it's been a year. There have definitely been a proportion of deaths in Sweden that it's debatable that perhaps they could have been prevented had the government taken more stringent measures. That policy, generally, people support it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I think it's okay. Yes, we've had, like, if you look at the percentages in regards to the population, we've had quite high numbers.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think from a mental health perspective, maybe from the economy perspective, it's been pretty good. I will say that I think living the pandemic here, as opposed to, for example, in the States, has probably been an advantage for us, because we, even though we haven't maybe traveled as much as we normally do outside of Sweden, we've been able to travel within Sweden, right? Like, we've been to our normal annual ski vacation, and we've traveled around a little bit within Sweden and so forth, right? And it was almost like you felt a little bit normal again.
Mm.
And I think that was really good for the people.
Yeah. We've had anti-lockdown protests a lot, actually, in various cities up and down the UK. And the main argument is that, you know, it's not the government's job to decide what we do and strip our freedom away. Have you guys had pro-lockdown protests? Have you had groups of people who are really against what the government are doing?
No, we have had anti, you know, COVID protests. Not a lot.
They oppose COVID as a concept. Me too.
But I feel like it's just denial, right?
Yeah, yeah. How, you know, you said that there are some restrictions or recommendations. Have they been enforced at all? Like, for instance, here, if you're caught not wearing a mask on public transport and you can't prove that you're not exempt from wearing a mask because of health reasons, then you're subject to getting a fine. Do you guys have any of that?
Yes, we've had some enforcement. I think the initial ones were mainly around the social gatherings, around restaurants and bars and things like that, making sure that they close down when they should. And also they've had sort of like, I guess, inspectors or enforcers.
Mm.
So the establishments would have gotten a warning, and if they get a second warning, then they got shut down for a period of time until they change things, right? That's about it.
I remember when I was it was the height of lockdown in the UK, and I hadn't seen anybody for months, and I watched footage of people in Sweden going to restaurants and parties, and there was even news stories about people from the likes of Ireland and France going to live in Sweden because they just wanted to have some sort of a life. But I remember people saying at the time, only time will tell as to whether Sweden's approach has been smart or utterly stupid. It's been over a year since the start of that pandemic. Looking at it from where you're sitting, what do you think?
I think I would change a few things. I think it also depends on what kind of, you know, metric you assess things on. You know, is it number of deaths? Is it like well-being of people or loss of financial? So I think there could have been restrictions that could have been put in place quicker. And I think there should have been more consistent about how they put things in place. I think that we could have enforced masks, at least on public transports. We're at the same time, we're a socialist country. So if we, you know, kids weren't allowed to go to school if they were sick, then being a socialist country, we actually have, you know, the systems in place where we can stay home and take care of our kids and still get paid to a certain extent, right? Some countries don't have that, like the US, for example. I don't know how it is in the UK, but it's like kids or people would go to work because they had no choice. Otherwise, they would lose their houses, right?
Yeah.
Here, you didn't have to do that. So I think that was an advantage for us. And there's different things. Could we have changed things? Yes, of course. Sitting here with the results in hand, it's easy to say we could have changed things. I don't think things have been optimal, but I don't think they have been as bad as maybe they have been portrayed in media and some of the other countries around the world.
Right. Do you know what's amazing is in the States, a lot of people are terrified of socialism. It's just a fact, right? Like the idea of the government having too much involvement in your life is like personal hell for a lot of Americans. And yet Sweden is a socialist country and they've said, do whatever you want. Like, we're going to give you some guidance, but we're not going to tell you what to do. And not only that, but we're also going to financially support you. So like everything that Americans could ever have wanted, these particular ones who, you know, really didn't approve of the lockdown measures, Sweden has offered, and yet it's a socialist country. Do you kind of like the fact that you live in a socialist country that functions in modern times?
I mean, so I have a lot of colleagues that are from the US. I've lived there for a long time. I have dual citizenship. There are pros and cons for sure. I like, for example, I'm diabetic, right? So in the States, it's a huge cost of being diabetic. It's like thousands of dollars every month. Yes, if you have insurance, it's better. Whereas in Sweden, I pay not a single dime being a type 1 diabetic. It's like everything is paid for. Mm-hmm. There is, when it comes to like childcare, right? Like I paid, you know, $1,500 a month in childcare in the US. Here I pay $150 a month and I get $300 from the government in contribution. So it's like offsets that. I pay nothing, more or less.
Wow.
So yes, I pay an enormous amount of taxes here compared to what I paid in the States. But I think that as a parent, and if you're then you can at least get some of those benefits back, right?
What are you taxed?
Is it 50%? I'm taxed, the base tax is like in this municipal is like 28% or something, so it's actually one of the lowest in the country.
Yeah,
but then you tack on, you know, you go over a certain, if you get over $40,000, if you make over $40,000 a year, it gets more and more and more. So not on the entire income, but that percentage that's above a certain level. And when you get in, then you get into next bracket and next bracket, you can get taxed up to 60%. So my average tax on my income is probably about 43-44%.
That's a lot, yeah. But it's a socialist country, tax the rich. That's literally the point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the richer you get, the more you pay taxes, which kind of makes sense. Whereas in the US, it's the opposite. It's like the richer you get, the less you get taxed.
Yeah, I mean, in America, it's very much, if I made it, I should keep it. And it's just a completely different model. But I think the pandemic has really held a mirror up to some of the issues out there, particularly healthcare, like you say, I think. Can I ask, if there was an election tomorrow in Sweden, do you think the current government would get voted back in?
I think it's questionable. Maybe the pandemic is one thing, but there was an election a couple of years ago and they got voted in again after 4 years, for another 4 years.
Okay.
And that was kind of, it was like border limits. They, because right now is kind of a coalition government, or it started that way. And like there's multiple parties trying to work together. And I think if there was an election tomorrow, I think the sort of not the right wing, because right wing in Sweden is nothing like a right wing in any other country. Yeah. It's still very, very red.
Okay.
I think if there would be a change of power, not only because of the pandemic, but I think it's also because the political climate and the fact that the government has been in power for a while. So
it's crazy to me that for you, if there was an election tomorrow, there are more topics than the pandemic that would be discussed. All that we've ever talked about for months has been for a year has been the pandemic. It would, if there was an election in the UK tomorrow, it would be solely based on the government's handling of the pandemic. I'm absolutely sure of it.
Well, about months ago, it was all about Brexit.
We like to just focus on one thing and forget about all our other problems. But because the vaccine rollout is so quick here, it's just been like mind-blowingly quick, and we've approved 3 different vaccines now. I think that the mistakes that the government have made, and there have been many throughout the past year, have been almost completely forgotten because people are like, oh, this vaccine thing's going so well, normal life's going to come back. Doesn't matter that you made all these mistakes because, you know, we're going to get there eventually. So it's interesting. I think the last moment of the pandemic will be what defines Boris Johnson's legacy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it wasn't all, you know, happiness in the beginning of the pandemic with Mr. Boris.
No, that's actually a point. Have the Swedish press covered what's been going on in the UK? What have Swedish people's perception been of how we've handled the pandemic?
So yes, it's been covered for sure. And it's very interesting. I think the media here is, yes, we have like newspapers that are, you know, more or less against one particular party or a political direction, but it's still very objective. And I think that's a huge difference from some other countries where the media really, you know, portrays the news from a perspective that it's not always very objective.
Yeah, as well, the newspapers here, it's a bit different with TV and radio, but the newspapers here are mostly firmly one side or the other of every debate. And then the newspaper you read tells people about you, which I don't know how helpful that is sometimes. Can I just finally ask then, how is the vaccine rollout going in Sweden?
So I think that's another thing that I would definitely change, the way things have gone in regards to the vaccine. So we have, the vaccines were approved pretty quickly, several of them. I think right now there's at least 4, I think, that are approved. Mm-hmm. There are different regions in Sweden, and each region is sort of handling their own vaccine process, but the progress is different. So like I live in Stockholm, and here I think they've handled it really bad. I mean, they've, you know, there was articles about there was 6,000 open appointments for people to go get vaccinated, and like nobody showed up that day. And I think it was, some of it was because you were supposed to go online, make your appointment, and we have this thing in Sweden that is pretty amazing. It allows you to basically verify yourself through a digital ID. And the problem was that not everyone have this digital ID. So especially the older population,
right,
didn't use that digital ID.
And they need the vaccines the most.
Exactly. So in the US, they've vaccinated like 150 million or something already. And I know the UK has done really well too. Here, it's been pretty crappy. I mean, we were up until, I think we're at 10% or something now.
Okay.
Which is like a million, if even that.
Right. Although for us, it was like the vaccine was our only way out because of the approach we took, which was like, we are in lockdown until we are vaccinated. So the UK had, and it put all its eggs in that basket.
Yeah. But I've talked to some of my colleagues in UK, and they've had their their kids home for like over a year, and I can't imagine. And then not being able to go outside, and
Yeah.
yeah.
It's no joke. My mental health has never been so bad, and I've never really struggled before, but this year I got to points where I was like, what is the point? Like that's how I felt, because it's like, what's the point in being alive? Or I'm not adding anything. I'm just sitting in a box. I feel like I'm offering nothing. And you know, just Zooming people, like, it's not the same. So the government have made a choice. And it's impossible to know what the outcomes of that choice will be because you can't see it on people's mental health. You can't assess how everyone's doing mentally. So I think literally, and like I've been talking about this, like you say, with friends with kids, and we're saying, what are the impact of a year without learning on a kid? We can't measure that, but I don't think they'll be very good. So.
No, I think that that has been a huge difference. I mean, the fact that we have been able to send the kids to school every day, and I mean, I have worked from home for over a year, and in the beginning, both me and my wife worked from home, and the kids were home for those 4 weeks in, 70 square meter apartments. It's like, no. I mean, and even me and my wife couldn't sit in the same apartment that long. So having the being able to send them to school, it was like you get a little bit of a way out, right?
But I mean, my government's made loads of choices. It's affected me, my finances, my mental health, everything. But I've watched interviews with Swedish people who have lost family members to COVID, who accuse the government of just aiming for herd immunity and treating the people who get sick like collateral damage. They're just a necessary problem to get our goal. And you know, there's an element of, are you looking at the population like humans or like numbers? Do you think there's some truth in that? Like the way that the government have treated the Swedish population is a little bit cynical.
Maybe a little bit. I think not to the point that I've seen in some countries. There has literally been statements where, it's like the old people are gonna have to take a bullet for the rest of us. They lived in this country long enough, and I mean, like, these people built this country for us. Right. And now we're just gonna throw them away. That's not right. So,
It's disgusting, actually, isn't it?
yeah. But I don't think there's a ton of that here at all.
Okay. It's amazing. I just expected you to be a bit more critical, but you seem like pretty much
Well,
everything.
we complain about things here, but Swedes kind of tend to complain about things in general. It's either too hot or too cold outside, and then there's too much taxes. But yeah, it's always something, right? And overall, I think it's been a good country to be in during the pandemic because how they have handled things.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye. Right, a huge thank you, first of all, to Per for taking the time to talk to me. We were complete strangers, and suddenly I was asking him incredibly personal questions. So it meant a lot. I found it really interesting. Just, you know, our differences in perspective. The fact that in black and white, Sweden's numbers are much higher and more dramatic than its neighbours. But Per and his peers aren't really necessarily just looking at that. They're also looking at, well, what's the fallout on the economy? What's the fallout on our mental health? You know, the fact that our kids could go to school and we could go on holidays, that's all being factored in to the point where it seems quite a lot of Swedes aren't being overly critical of the government's approach. But what do you think? What were you thinking when you were listening to that conversation? I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch with me on social media at JuliaBell_X. And next week, I will try and share my conversation that I had recently with Leon, who lives in New Zealand. Oh my God, talk about a different experience. It's like New Zealand on a different planet, to be honest. But that is all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast and you want to keep it going, the best thing you can do is to become a patron. The link is in the episode description. I hope you have a fabulous week. Look after yourselves. Be nice to each other and be nice to me. If you're sending me messages, maybe don't pepper it with abuse. And I'll speak to you in the next one. Okay, goodbye.